Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I am your host for this show. We've got another great cast for you this week. Topic of the show is an interview with host, actress, model, and overall amazing, awesome person, Naomi Kyle. Super excited to let you folks listen to that. It's going to be a time. But before we jump into that, I've got my friends sitting with me around the digital table. Catherine, how you doing?
I am sore from painting, but I'm good.
Good. Awesome. Stephanie, how are you?
Fabulous. I haven't been on the podcast in a while. Excited to be back.
I'm glad to have you here. It's going to be good fun. So let's jump right into it. Steph, what games have you been playing?
I have been playing a lot of Minecraft, as a lot of you probably know. I am currently playing Attack of the Bee Team. If Leo wants to talk about our server that's opening, we are opening a Attack of the Bee Team server, so I've been playing on that.
Great. I can't wait to jump in with you.
I'm excited.
I know. We built our spawn point, and now we're ready to start jumping in and building our base and playing the game, and it's going to be a good time.
Yes. By the time this podcast goes up, the server should be live, so.
Yeah. Oh, so stoked. How about you, Catherine? What games are you gaming?
Still going strong with the lunchtime Overwatch, especially with the summer games going on.
Still going?
Still going. I haven't unlocked one of the new skins yet, so I'm
just really. I need the Mercy skin.
I know, it's pretty. Alice actually had to buy it because she didn't get it in a loot box, but I'm holding out. I think I should just buy loot boxes. I should just do it.
Even then, it's a gamble.
It is, but it gives you more chance to get currency. So you can buy the skin that you're not getting, because you can only buy them during the event. And it gives you a chance to get them more than just getting, like, the odd loot box when I level.
So are these skins different from last time when they did the summer games?
Yeah, so last time they did more, like, Olympic-themed stuff.
Okay.
Like, I got Lucio's skin, which is basically a football player. Cool. That's from last year, Tracer's Usain Bolt type of thing. But this year, what they did is they did more like a summer theme. So, you know, you have McCree that's dressed as Baywatch. You have Widowmaker.
I remember I was talking about it last week, but I wasn't certain if they were the same ones as the year before, because I didn't play the year before.
No, these are the new ones. So the Grillmaster 76, Baywatch, and then Widowmaker. I forget the name. I think it's called Desert. Anyway, she's in a bikini, and then Sombra has the suit. With a big super soaker. Like, the beach theme stuff is from this year. The sports theme stuff is from last year. And then they have emotes and voice lines. There are some new emotes, like the Pharah. That's a victory screen. I'm sorry. The Pharah dunking a basketball and things like that. So, Overwatch, summer games hype. And other than that, I'm continuing my playthrough of Assassin's Creed 2. And I'm realizing that, you know, early PS3 games, they didn't age as well as I thought they would. Everybody has sausage hands. At the time, we were like, oh my god, this is the best thing ever. And if you look, like, at the end of the cycle, like, you know, Assassin's Creed 3 versus Assassin's Creed 2, there's a world of difference. It's crazy.
Seriously.
Or like sometimes there's conversation and this girl's eyebrows, like, she acts surprised, but the eyebrows, they go all the way up half her forehead, and I'm just like, okay, yep, we've definitely gone a long way in video game production.
I remember when Uncharted Collection came out, and I went through like the same kind of thing, because my boss at the time was very interested in playing the Uncharted Collection, especially because Uncharted 4 was coming out, and was like, oh well, you got to play through, but like, just bear with Uncharted 1, because it was, you know, an early PS3 game near the beginning of the life cycle. They were just getting into the swing of things. It's a little rough around the edges. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, the first Assassin's Creed was like a proof of concept, and you know, they didn't even, you never see Altair's face, probably because of like technical limitations, and the main character often wears gloves exactly to hide like the sausage hands. It's
crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, as I progressed through, like, Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood and Revelations, because I got the Ezio collection, like, it'll get, like, progressively better. It's going to be a world of difference. But yeah, no, it's like, early 3D games, they didn't age all that well. The gameplay's still fun, the story's still amazing, but still.
I didn't play many games this week. I had all intentions of, like, doing a lot of gaming up north because we went to my husband's father's summer spot, summer house. And the thing is that, like, I had really expected it to rain and, like, came prepared. I had my laptop with Minecraft installed. I had my 3DS ready to play some of, well, I guess it was going to be my last hour's attempt at Hey Pikmin, but I think I've kind of put that to rest. I was going to play more Legend of Zelda on the Switch, and then it didn't rain. So I enjoyed the great outdoors instead and got a gazillion flybites. I did play some Yahtzee, though. There's a board game I hadn't played in a very long time.
I haven't played that in ages.
I know, and every time I was just like, Yahtzee! So, do you remember the commercial?
Yes!
So, yeah, that's about all the gaming that I got in this week. We were in poking around on our Attack of the Bee stream, Attack of the Bee team server, but Stephanie's really been taking that bull by the horns and getting it set up. I've been super duper busy. So, yeah, I'm really excited to, like, jump into some more games. I need to get some more games in my life right now. Like, seriously. You know what? I was watching stuff for that Mario and Rabbids Kingdom game. I'm so stoked. I am ready. I am so ready. I have, like, really long trips coming up because I have to go to Vancouver for work. So ready for that game.
That's going to be good fun. It looks like a... I watched a gameplay video, like, around after E3 or whatever. Like, I forget if it was Polygon Kotaku. Like, insert generic gaming website here. They had, like, a whole, like, 10-5 minutes of gameplay, and I was like, I'm getting sold on this game. Like, it looks, like, stupid, ridiculous fun. Just, like, basic.
So cute.
We're not taking ourselves too seriously fun.
I was doing a lot of research, obviously, because I always do research when we have a guest, and I was watching some of the Disney XD show, that IGN show that they've been doing, because Naomi's on it, and they had a big feature on the Kingdom Battle, and I was just like, okay, yeah, it's time. I want this game. It can come to me now.
It's coming at the end of the month.
I love it. Good time. Come to me, game. All right, let's take a break and jump into the news. It's news time. Catherine, what interesting gaming stories have you got for me this week?
Well, I've got some bad news, actually.
Damn.
We're possibly losing a Montreal game studio.
Aww.
As Hibernum has laid off most of his staff and is looking to sell off a lot of their properties.
Which properties did they have? Do you remember?
They're mostly mobile.
Okay.
So they have Beauty and the Beast Perfect Match, Dice with Ellen, Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest, things like that. They also worked with Insomniac on Song of the Deep. Mm. And they did animations and cinematics for partners. So, you know, often like these smaller studios, they do their own projects, but their bread and butter is often helping... catching the slack from other studios, right? So yeah, no, it's sad news. A colleague of ours from a French podcast called Leisure Sans Fait worked at Hibernum, so he unfortunately lost his day job. He's taking it in strides, you know, it's part of the industry, unfortunately. So it's sad news, really sad news, because they did, even if they were mostly a mobile game studios, they did pretty good games.
Yes, it's totally sad, and it's the nature of the business in cases, but man, it seems like it's the nature of everybody's business lately. Doesn't matter what industry you're in.
Yeah, it's I think a lot of studios are relying a lot on the all the programs there are in Quebec to help you launch your business. Mm-hmm. And it works to a certain extent that can be your main source of revenue. So I think the company was suffering, and maybe I think the investors just decided to go, well, fuck that.
Well, there are lots of studios here in Montreal, so hopefully most of these folks will land on their feet. I mean, it's good times for folks like UBWB Games. I know the Motives here in town, they were hiring. And there's lots of indie studios. So maybe this is a chance, if you look on the brighter side of it, for some of those folks to start something on their own or jump into one of those bigger studios, too.
For sure.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of these Ubisoft and WB Games seniors that just left to found their own studio. So, you know, maybe they'll pick up a few of these guys, because since it was mostly a mobile game studios, the people that worked there were mostly like jack of all trades, you know, because it's such smaller productions. So, I mean, I'm not worried for, it's still like 100, 150 people that lost their jobs, but at least the Montreal gaming industry elsewhere is flourishing. So maybe this is just a blip of just a financial decision.
Well, best of luck to all those folks who got let go from Hibernium. Stephanie, do you have something a little bit more enlightening and happy?
Oh, I hope so. I do have a couple TV movie-related topics to talk about.
Okay.
The first one being Johnny Depp is producing a TV series based on the MMO game, The Secret World. Basically, the show is going to be about their battles against supernatural, and it's going to be based in the like whole entirety of the secret world, which is exciting. The cool thing I read, though, is they're going to be incorporating some enchanted myths and legends, but they're also going to be incorporating today's like conspiracy theories and headline news within the TV show. So I'm kind of excited to see what conspiracy theories they choose. Not too sure what they're going to pick, but it's going to be kind of like a hot topic on a lot of the episodes. Maybe Mr. Trump's going to be in there.
So he's a conspiracy theory. Right,
well, it
there.
Does say conspiracy theories in the headline news. So I don't know, but it looks interesting.
And the man is a walking, talking parody of himself. So how can you not?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting show. I didn't see a release date yet. So I don't know. We'll see. I've never played The Secret World, though. Have you guys?
No.
Yeah, I don't know how I missed this one, but I haven't played it. I'm going to try to check it out, maybe a future stream on it just before the TV show arrives. So that's on my to-do list.
Has there really been any video game-inspired TV shows? Like, we've got obviously got the movies. We've been talking about those like crazy.
Yeah, well, while I was looking up, I saw that there was like a Battlefield TV show coming out. I don't know how I missed that one either, but
I think they were doing the Division movie or series at one point. There was a rumor for
there's always a lot of rumors.
What am I talking about? There's that stupid old Zelda show, that Mario show,
yeah,
the Sonic the Hedgehog. Okay, but they're all like
cartoon
corny. There's nothing sensible.
I mean, the closest we've had recently, it's the Castlevania animated series, which is a very adult series.
Yeah, but this sounds like it's going to be more along the a live action-esque thing.
I think this one might take off a bit, specifically because it's Johnny Depp producing it. So we'll see how that goes. But my second news is a little more exciting. There is going to be a Planet of the Apes cinematic video game being released this fall on PS4, Xbox, and PC. That was in the news a lot yesterday. It's going to be called The Last Frontier. And if you are familiar with Planet of the Apes, the whole game is going to be based between Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War of the Planet of the Apes. So it's going to be pretty recent movie scenarios, which is exciting. And the game is actually going to be done by a game studio that this is their first project. And the studio is actually founded by Annie Serkis, who stars in the Apes movies. So it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that could go one or two ways, right?
Yeah, it's going to be definitely hit or miss, and you got to keep an open mind, but I think it is going to take off a bit because it is such a popular movie series. It is going to be a choose-your-own-adventure story, and there has been a release saying there should be, like, an interactive button every 15 to 20 seconds, so it's going to be interesting, and I'm actually going to check it out. So.
Okay, so that's more along the lines of the Telltale stuff, what they've been doing.
Yeah, they basically said it was along the lines of Telltale, but a bit more interactive. There's going to be, like, more options quicker. So, I don't know.
When
we'll see.
When you first talked about it, when you brought it to my attention, I went and read it. I was like, huh, wouldn't that be kind of cool if it was, like, the way they do Batman or the Middle Earth games, where it was, like, a third-person action-adventure, but I guess that's not the route they're going in.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens, especially since it's the first project. So we'll see.
Indeed. So the piece of news that I have is more along the lines of me sharing with you the purchases that I just made on Amazon. But the Polygon had this article come out that struck my interest. It's a book being put together by a contributor for Kotaku, Ben Bertoli, and it's called 101 Video Games to Play Before You Grow Up. And in the article, they show a screen grab or one of the pages from the article, and it shows Splatoon and some info on it. And I'm just really curious, and this is why I dropped the $15 on Amazon to pre-order it. I'm curious to see what they have there in the list, because they've got Splatoon as number 34. I'm really curious to go through and be like, yes, I played that one. No, I didn't play that one. All this kind of stuff. And to see if there's anything that, like, sparks my interest so that I want to go back and play one of these games. Are you guys into that kind of listicle kind of style stuff just to, you know, see where you fit in and how many of these games in this list of supposed to be the 101 must plays?
Yeah. So,
where you lie?
I actually looked up this book as soon as I saw it, and I found the table of contents, so I'm going to have to link it to you.
Oh, no, I don't want
unless you don't want spoilers. You don't want spoilers.
I'm waiting
until
I
Maybe I shouldn't
first.
Continue what I'm about to say.
No, continue. Continue. It's okay.
Well, there are some, like, awesome game titles that I grew up on, like Spyro and Sly Cooper, Jack and Daxter, and Harvest Moon, so I'm really excited to see those games in the list, and it's not just, like, Minecraft and Mario and Splatoon. I'm excited there's some older games, so... Yeah, just really excited to see the book.
And what I really like about the book, too, in this one illustration that they put up on Polygon's site, is that it has different options. Like, the illustration's amazing, and then it tells you stuff like what to play it on, the genre of the game, mm-hmm. when it came out, who was made by, the rating, what you should play afterwards, top series picks, so if it is a series, so my imagine is, like, if they talk about Harvest Moon, then maybe they'll pick out, because that's a series, they'll pick out some games from it, and related games that you might be interested in at the same time. It also features this, like, checkmark box for you to fill out, like, if you played it, the rating you would give it, and your favorite moment. So what could be really interesting is, like, I read through this, mark off stuff, and then pass it to you girls, and then you get an idea of, like, what, not just the information from the book, but also my opinion on what was in the book.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's nice. It's like the sisterhood of the traveling book.
The book.
Video game book. So yeah, I'm super stoked about that. I obviously bought it. So I've always had this idea of doing, like, a book club of sorts within GOG, because there's so many awesome video game related books. And I mean, this one is obviously, it's not like reading Ready Player One. This is an illustrated informational book. But still, like, it would be kind of cool to have other folks go through, and maybe we can have a discussion point on that as a podcast episode and go through this 101 games. Might be a good one to do around Christmas time when we're all busy pre-record and post up. So stay tuned for that. We might do it. All right. It's time to get into topic of the show. And this week we've got an extra special interview with the wonderful Naomi Kyle. You probably know her from IGN. She's the host of The Daily Fix. She's also on The IGN Show, which is a Disney XD television show that they've put out. She's a Twitch channel. She's into cosplay, acting, modeling, you name it. She's in it. And guess what? She's also from Montreal. So stay tuned for that. It's coming up right after this break. We'll be right back. So, I have a very extra special adventure to go on today, sitting across the digital table from the one, the only, Naomi Kyle. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show. We've talked about doing this for a while, so it's great to finally do it.
I know, we have, and I'm super stoked to be doing it, because I've been following your career for quite a while. Just before we were talking, before we started recording, I was lamenting over the fact that I've been listening to IGN forever. So this, like, as soon as you showed up as part of their team, I was like, right away, I was like, huh. And the first time I realized that you were Canadian and from Montreal is one day during the Daily Fix, you were wearing a Dot t-shirt.
Oh my gosh. That's really what that was? So that was connecting Dot for you? Like,
because I'm very good friends with
Dax.
I'm with assuming. Dax and, yeah. and Co. because, and I know Dax because of folks at the radio station. So when I started at Shome, Jason Rockman was the person that brought me into the radio station through Jason, through Kevin, through his band Slaves, then with Dot, with Dax. And then one day, like I'd been to Dot shows and been following them for a while. And one day I watched the Daily Fix on YouTube and there's Naomi Kyle wearing a Dot t-shirt. And I was like, holy cow.
Wow. I can't believe this whole time I've known you, we've never even touched on what was the, you know, the connector, like what made you like want to start following or like want to start, you know, going into like, oh, who is this person from Montreal who likes games just like me? that's so crazy. Cause yeah, that's another story too. Just cause friends with Dax through Steve's Music Store. So my connection was the music store that is unfortunately shutting down in Montreal. I just read an article about that, or at least there's closing down
moving. Yeah.
They're moving it. Yeah. But it's just, those were like some prime years for me. Cause I was in college, I was doing modeling, I was going to school and also, working part-time there and, pursuing music in college and kind of film stuff. And then I went into doing, I was always gaming as a hobby, but yeah, then I got into the hosting stuff and so I had to leave, but yeah, he sent me a t-shirt and then I ended up wearing it on the Fix just randomly. I guess I hadn't done laundry or something. Or I think he like maybe was like, hey, I have these cool t-shirts and I'm going to send out a copy of my EP. And the rest is history after that, I guess. Just crazy.
Wild.
Yeah, such a wild story. I had no idea that was it.
Yeah, that was the connector. So I want to rewind a little bit. You did just give a brief intro of like how you got to what you're doing now.
I mean, there's more detail to it, but yeah.
Yeah, let's get into that. So like, I guess, where did you start in video games? What was your first console?
My first console was PlayStation 1. Nice. So I was not unfortunately, all my Nintendo experience came through friends, neighbors that had either a 64 or like the classic NES, SNES, the whole shebang. Nintendo, for some reason, my mother, you know, we just missed that bandwagon. And it was like the PlayStation 1 was the new thing. So she's like, I'm just going to get our kids that and hope that's enough for them to crave their, you know, video gaming habits. And so that was my first one. And I played Crash Bandicoot on it, you know, forever. I replayed the remake of that recently. It's much harder than I imagined or than I recalled when I was a kid.
I have this feeling that when we played games, we didn't realize how wicked hard they were. And yeah, now maybe
we were.
or how like structured and disciplined we were. We were like, we're just gonna keep replaying. Maybe it's because we had nothing else to play.
We had a lot of patience. Yeah.
Well, there's only so many games to get our hands on as kids, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So education wise, where's your background?
My background was normal. You know, high school was I was good in the arts. I always excelled in the arts. I graduated with an art award of some kind. I forget what it was, but and math too. I got like a weird math one as well, like number one in 416 math. I started out at Vanier. I wanted to pursue jazz music. But I hadn't had any like private lessons or training like that. So it was just going, you know, going off like my, you know, ability to be able to pick up notes and tunes and have good memorization around that, and vocal ability. So I was able to get into Vanier music program, which is kind of tough. But I like passed by like a little margin, you know, and they were like going to give me a chance. And so I did it for a year and I passed all my great, all my classes, and, you know, could have continued on the other two years for that program. It was a three-year program. And I decided to change because it was, one, really hard, and I didn't know, like, if I could really pursue a future in that, or it didn't seem like I could, you know, turn it into something. And I was just, again, barely passing. Like, I was okay, but I felt like if I'd had that training growing up, it would have been a bit better, because they were training you in, like, ear training and theory and all this stuff that if I had, like, a base, at least, I would have maybe, you know, excelled a bit more. But turned out that I found a passion in, like, films and wanting to pursue more of that side of things. I was big into, like, sci-fi movies and had all these ideas for movies. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll try film. Went to Dawson College for that. Did film communications there, graduated. But then I never ended up going to the university part of that because I got the job in California. So
I guess the thing is for folks that are listening, Quebec, we have a different education system here. And I didn't even go through it the normal way because I'm originally from Newfoundland. So you do high school until grade 11, then do CJEP. That's what you did. Yep. That's what we call college here. That's what we call college here, which is almost like, I kind of call it, it's kind of like technical school in some cases to prep you for university. Yeah. So you didn't jump into the university thing. You ended up heading down south. So, so how did you get into that? I read somewhere that it's also partially because you got involved in modeling and got a pretty dope modeling contract.
Yes. I had a really, crazy opportunity that came my way. Would have never imagined in, you know, my life that that would have gone through a modeling like way of, you know, being realized, because I was with the modeling agency Next in Quebec. I was doing that for like 3 years, I think. I was doing that between school and Steve's, and it was like part-time for me, but landed some pretty cool campaigns, and, you know, wasn't sure if I was going to do it full-time or if, like, what I wanted to do with that modeling career that I kind of just kind of blew up out of nowhere. And then my agent contacts me about this one-year opportunity to work for Gameloft, which they make, you know, Gameloft, I'm sure, because they're, you know, they're headquartered in Montreal, so, or at least one of their offices.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, and so I went in for the audition. They were casting models, so I just got lucky that way, because I guess I was the most English, like, well-spoken English model that they sent there, as well as the most knowledgeable about games. So my agent was like, this is kind of perfect for Naomi. Maybe we'll send her on and see what happens. And I vibed really well with the co-host there, Josh, who was great, and vibed with the team. And they took me on, and I worked there for like a year and a half. Yeah, wow. It was my biggest contract for my modeling contract that I'd ever gotten. So, and then it led to the biggest part of, you know, my career to this, you know, that I've ever had the luck of achieving.
All right, so let's get into that. Yeah. IGN. So how did that fall into your lap? Because it seems like I remember back in the day, there was another host at the time. Yes. And then one day, I'm not sure if she decided, Jessica Chobot decided to leave or whatever. But then I started seeing you integrated into the system. Yeah. Of course, you know, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was crazy. I had actually been, so I'd done it for a year and a half at Gameloft. I'd been doing the podcast, video podcast with them, really got along with the team, really loved the job, like going out in the field and talking, you know, man on the streets, doing that sort of thing, and creating little fun skits around the Gameloft properties. I think the thing that, you know, got me interested was the fact that it wasn't just modeling and you're like, you're able to be a bit more yourself. And I got to explore like the part of me that not a lot of people knew about, which was that I played games a lot of the time. And that was like my biggest hobby. So I was kind of eyeing like, you know, okay, maybe I could go to Toronto or New York and like see if they have gaming outlets like this where I could like pursue a career in it. And I was like, pie in the sky, IGN would be it, because that would get me down to California.
Right.
Unbeknownst to me, they were already kind of eyeing the stuff that I was doing at Gameloft. This guy named Tyroot, who was running or heading up the Daily Fix at the time, found my Facebook page, got in touch, and was like, hey, I seen you like doing Gameloft stuff. Would you like to try auditioning for this host opportunity here down in California? And I was like, yes. And at first I thought it was a complete joke. I think I told you this story before. I totally had to be like very cautious in this, that I thought maybe it was someone like pulling a trick on me. Like maybe someone I told, because I had told people about, you know, this idea I had, and it's like, who's doing this? So after, you know, some emails and some, you know, research, I was able to really take it seriously and went down for some interviews, went down to do like a week of shooting with them on a different show. And I guess they liked me. And so after the whole visa process went through, I moved down there and found a place. It was expensive. It's crazy expensive. Oh, yeah. But totally worth it. And now I'm able to live in California and the States for as long as I want. So
wow.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
It's like a match made in heaven.
It is. Yes. It was destined, I guess, if you want to call it that. It was definitely kind of a crazy whirlwind experience. And I felt like on cloud nine for, you know, the first 3 years. I still feel that way. I'm always like pinching myself. How like lucky am I to be living in the like most sought after city in the world, and it's expensive, but it's totally worth it, and it's California, and just there's so many perks to the job of, you know, not only getting to meet some of my favorite developers, but like getting a real idea of what the gaming industry does, like a love and appreciation for it that I never even imagined having. So besides the games themselves, so it's great.
Let's get into Daily Fix. So yeah. I'm trying to remember now, it's been a while. Was the Daily Fix already in existence, or were you, it was already in existence? Okay. Yeah. So when you came in, what was the experience like? Obviously, did they already have a format and that you followed, or did you then, you know, come in and do some of the writing change, make it your own?
Yeah, there was a bit of that at the start for sure. They gave me a lot of leeway for script things if I wanted to ad lib or do like different ways of, you know, delivering the news, choosing out stories. But yeah, the show had been around for 6 years. So it's actually one of the longest running, most successful IGN show that IGN has and has ever created. So yeah, it had been around 6 years. It won an award at some point for, you know, news web outlet. And I think when I started working on the show, Jessica Chobot was still flying back and forth between LA and San Francisco because she was starting a family down there and had bought a place. And so she came in every now and then to do it. But I think for me, it was, I was going to be the person who was doing it every day. So every day I'd go in and I'd shoot the show. And yeah, it was kind of, they had this show for 6 years. So it was a little bit, you know, turnkey for them. But after a couple of years of being there, like really getting in, you know, established, kind of finding my own, I guess, personality or like to make it my own, appeal to it. I had to figure out, where to go from there. Cause I was like, well, now I've got this hosting thing down. Like, what can I do more? So we started developing like different extensions of the Daily Fix, like the Top 5 Weekend Show, and like, which I write still, I write it every week, for our 2 weekend shows. So it's the Top 5 and Stories You Might Have Missed shows, which are an extension of the Daily Fix, kind of similar, but it's obviously just a wrap up show. The Daily Fix, I coordinate with the team. I do a lot of the headlining and like figuring out what stories to pick. We developed like a interview portion that like we tried over a period of several months. And yeah, so now I'm executive producer of it, which is nice. Cause I was able to turn that into an executive title. And yeah, I've been at it 7 years, and I guess it is kind of turnkey, but it's in a good way. You know, I'm able to explore different things while I'm at IGN, whether it's fixed related or not.
One thing that I notice is the humor in it. There's always like that little bit of humor. That's all you, right?
Yeah, that's all me. The writer does do like more of the pun related ones. If you notice, there's a lot of pun use. That's definitely Evan's brain at work because he's just big into puns. For me, though, like all the ad-lib stuff and like the, oh, wouldn't that be crazy or something. Those are kind of my little touches that I add to it. Yeah.
So
those are
a date
too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What about filming a daily show? That must be difficult in a sense to be every day. You're like, you gotta produce.
Yep, every day you gotta be happy. Like every day you gotta project that happy smiley face, even though, like, you know, some days you're kind of tired or you feel like, you know, whatever, stuff gets in the way of you know, your work. But I've always managed to find, after doing it for so long too, you just kind of get into the habit of switching it on, you know. And it's totally true what actors say, where it's like it's a switch on, and then once you're off camera, that's, you know, goes back to reality and you're back into your whatever stressful things you're dealing with. I think the the main thing for me is that it's a show that's just such a huge part of me. And yeah, I think that, I guess it's just like trying to be as, you know, personable in myself as possible on camera, because in the end, it's like, why am I doing this? There wouldn't be a show if it wasn't for people watching. So I kind of put in that extra effort to make it as personable and as, you know, down to earth as possible. You know, I know there's a lot of talking head shows and stuff like that out there, but if you're not, you know, projecting something different or like that's uniquely you, you know, it just makes it more interesting and something people can get attached to and enjoy watching. That's, you know, the best part of it.
What's been the biggest change since you started on The Daily Fix? Was it technology wise? Is it the news story itself? Is it like the trajectory of how video game coverage has changed?
Yeah, I definitely think that the biggest change is covering stories that aren't necessarily very niche gaming. Like we try to, there's so many different, you know, ways people can get their media now. So it's about kind of finding the headlines and stories that will matter to a wider audience. And sometimes those fall into, you know, a personality piece about, you know, some YouTuber did some crazy thing, you know, in Overwatch versus just talking about the releases or, you know, the reviews or what, you know, what new map is Overwatch revealing at Gamescom, you know, which are those are always great. And we have a lot of those still, but I think we do a lot of more, a lot more pop culture based stories now and a lot more movie based, like, you know, I think the biggest change too is seeing how big geekdom fell into the movie industry and how much more we had to cover that because we saw that there was a huge appeal for it. You know, covering Fantastic Four, I mean, that's a bad example, but covering movies like, you know, the Avengers or anything in the Marvel or even DC TV shows like the CW shows. We've definitely seen a lot more of that in the show, more than we used to. When we did our interview piece too, we did more pop culture stuff, trending stuff, and movie stuff. We did Power Rangers interview with the cast. Yeah, but then we did a Horizon Zero Dawn interview with Ashley Birch. So it's like it's finding the balance and making sure that you get equal parts as much as possible in front of people and the audience that cares about it. Yeah.
Let's jump into probably the newest thing and probably one of the biggest things. I mean, it's so different to see something go, we're so used from TV to go to internet, but now you guys are going back to TV with the IGN show on Disney XD.
Yeah. So that's a little, it's an IGN, how should I describe it? It's like if IGN had a baby Disney show, it would look like the IGN show. So I think we basically wanted to emphasize the personality of The Office, which, you know, if you've, I don't know, if did you ever visit The Office, Leah?
No, I haven't. I've never been to San Francisco, but I might be venturing that way very soon. All right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you do, we're going to make sure you get a tour. And because, I mean, that's one of the cool things about the company is it's why we have, you know, Friday tours, too. We have like open tours to the public on Fridays once a month, I think. And the whole point of it is to show off like, hey, this is actually like if you were a total geek with like $1 million, you could have this place and it'd be your home and you would just stockpile it with all sorts of toys and different things. And massive statues from like your favorite franchises. That's what IGN like embodies. And so when you visit there, it's just like this whole, I don't know, you get this like really cool feeling of like, oh, this feels like home. And this feels like all the my favorite things that are so dear to my heart in one place. It's like video game heaven, or like if you were a gamer and you passed away, this would be your heaven. So I think that the IGN show does a good job of showing that off to some degree. And then just, you know, using a lot of the core pieces that we've used that, you know, would appeal to a Disney audience or an audience Disney wouldn't maybe have known about or seen, like, you know, top five Overwatch kills or things like that. But we just try to add as much personality in it. You know, it's a cool cast of people. We got James Duggan, Alana Pierce, Miranda Sanchez, William Haynes. They're all so great. And, you know, having a team who's like passionate behind it, even on the production side, has really turned into something fun, I think, that people will enjoy and get to see hopefully more of next year.
Yeah, I've been watching the YouTube versions of the show. You guys throw them up on YouTube. That's awesome for me. Yeah. And I love the format. It's like everything that I see from IGN that I've grown to love, you know, like the combination of news, exclusive access, new games. You guys throw in some listicles.
Oh, yeah.
Con stuff, interviews, reviews. Like, it's like everything mashed together, and it still feels like IGN as someone who's been, you know, paying attention to the website for 10 plus years and everything you guys have been making. It feels like that. Yeah. Did you take part in the format creation? Because now that, since you've done the daily fix and you kind of know how, like, that kind of video production works, did you take part in that?
I wish I could say yes. I wish I could say, like, oh, yeah, I did more of a producer role. I think it was the team that we brought on. We had Blair Herter, Wade as well, got on board. He's, you know, heading up more of the video productions now at IGN. And so they kind of concepted it, and it was, like, part of their pitch to Disney, and Disney, you know, I ate it all up, and they were totally on board. So unfortunately, I wasn't part of those conversations. And the shooting, the people who we have shooting the show and producing it, they're a mix of IGN folks as well as, you know, outside hires. But people who have, you know, a lot of experience covering this sort of stuff, and who do just or do a really good job and find the show really fun. So I think my part in it is really just making it as interesting and funny and as me as possible when it's me on camera, or when I'm talking out, you know, via on a review or something. And that's my part. That's my part's pretty, it's pretty my usual part, which is, you know, host and knowledgeable about the gaming world. But it's a lot of fun to shoot. The Daily Fix has been, and the Daily Fix is actually still a big part of that. So the Daily Fix, we do a smaller version now for Disney. I don't know if you actually have able,
I haven't seen that.
Because you haven't seen it, right? So the cool thing is about having it on cable TV is that people who, in the cable world, they get to see it. But, you know, people like you and me who have cut, you know, cord cutters, don't get to see that portion of it. But yeah, there's actually a shortened down 1 minute version of the Daily Fix that we do every day and airs about six times during the DXD showtime. So it's like 9 o'clock to like 3 o'clock in the morning. And it runs repeatedly throughout that time. And it's just like same format as the Daily Fix, but a minute instead of, we do like about a minute, 50 seconds, sometimes goes up to 2 minutes. So we've been doing that and working with Disney. So that part I have been producing. That part I've been a big part of, just having the chats with Disney to make sure everything goes through with their legal team, and we make sure to show, you know, the best part of the stories that we have going on that day. So that's actually a part that I am working on. So that, but that's separate from the IGN show in a way, because it's not in the IGN show, but it does air as part of the DXD initiative, which is this whole gaming blog that they have going on this summer on Disney XD.
That's so, awesome.
I know, it's super cool.
So obviously this is a lot more work on top of what you were used
literally
to doing.
Literally double the work.
During the summer months, which is usually kind of calm for us gamers. It's usually our time to catch up on the backlog.
That's right.
How has that changed, like, your time at conventions and things like that?
I was able to squeeze in some time to Canada, but no, I was mostly back-to-back cons for a while there. I was at E3. Well, then I had, San Diego Comic-Con, which are my two usual ones throughout the year. I was supposed to be sent out to more cons, but of course they have me here in San Francisco because that's where the Disney Daily Fix version gets shot and produced, and we have to shoot a lot of these in advance. So I basically have been, like, you know, grounded besides when we went out for E3 and San Diego Comic-Con, but doing two shows a day versus, and sometimes four shows a day because of the Thursday. Anyway, it's very complicated, but there's always two shows being shot a day. So the smaller version of the Daily Fix, which is entirely different usually than the main fix that we do that day, because it's shot in advance again. So it's using different stories and all sorts of things. So that's actually just doubled my workload. And then it's tripled my workload because on, you know, 2 days throughout that week, we shoot the IGN show, which is an entirely different thing. And I have to book out my entire day for that. I come in, it's my call time is around 8 o'clock, and then I leave. It's about 7, 8 o'clock. So it's a long day on top of shooting the fix and everything. But it's totally been worth it. And, you know, the payoff is I get to say I produced and was a part of a Disney, you know, initiative for video game content, and I was on Disney. I was a Disney host, so to speak. So, yeah.
You could say Zac Efron was my workmate.
Not yeah. Really. Not really. yeah. Well, funny enough, I actually did a pseudo interview with Zac Efron through a Skype thing, and that was funny. But that's on my YouTube channel. It's completely different from my idea and stuff. But yeah, that's funny. I guess I get to say I'm part of the Vanessa Hudgens or like High School Musical type world.
I love it. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely work hard, play hard, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, that's why I was able to squeeze in like that short amount of time I got to visit Canada was because the actual production of the IGN show took a break, and then the Daily Fix, you know, production as a result took a break. So I was like, hey, I'm just gonna go to Canada, take some time to, you know, enjoy nature and do all the hiking and biking and kayaking that you can do in Canada, and then come back here and hopefully feel regenerated. And I did feel pretty good.
Let's talk about Twitch, because you recently started your own Twitch channel. It's doing really well.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, I've been doing a lot of Twitch streaming at night on the time that I'm not shooting at IGN. And I'm supposed to shoot one tonight. So hopefully that goes well and I can shoot. Because I've been having to take a lot of breaks from doing Twitch streaming because of the schedule and my traveling, and it's just been so hectic. And I know you can do IRL stuff, but I do prefer having a setup and, you know, having it be like a show. So yeah, I've just been doing a lot of art because you know, with my exclusivity deal at IGN, I'm not able to play games, which, you know, one day I'm sure it will happen, I'll be able to play games on Twitch, but right now it's just art and doodling and like the occasional DJ cooking stream. But I've had a lot of fun doing it, and it's just a whole different community and way to connect with an audience that I guess I sort of experienced through IGN with Naomi Plays, but this is an entirely different thing when it's like your diehard fans who are watching. And I really enjoy that community as well. They're super positive, you know, and it's just, it's a cool outlet. It's a way to do kind of YouTube-y type content, but long form, and that hopefully generates a better audience for you. Yeah.
Well, that's what I like, the interactivity of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact that you have direct reaction, like, yeah, when you produce something, even like what we're doing right now, is I won't have any interaction or feedback or anything until later, live. But that is live, right? So that's awesome. Now, I also know that you do cosplay. Have you done any of your cosplay stuff on Twitch?
On Twitch, no, I haven't done any cosplay Twitch streaming. I think that would involve more time and effort and work, because I'd have to go out and get the pieces. Like, there would be a lot more craftsmanship. That's something that I've explored as an idea. But I really would have to test the waters, because I by no means am a pro cosplayer. Like, I do cosplay, but when it comes to like putting the pieces together and everything, it's all, you know, it's all testing first and then seeing if I can repeat it afterwards. And if I test it and it fails, then I have to start back from scratch. And that's all caught on a live stream. So I don't know. It would definitely be a thing to explore in the future. But for right now, the cosplay that I do, I just, when I have the time, I either like scour the internet for pieces and I kind of set in mind like the one thing I want to do for that year. And that's it, usually. You know, usually it's like a Halloween cosplay, which, you know, is just costuming. And then I'll do like one cosplay maybe that's more relevant to, you know, something IGN's doing or, you know, a con that I'm attending. So, but I have one in the works that I'm hoping to debut very soon, actually. There's PAX, you know, West, which I'm going to. I don't know if you're heading to that.
I'm working that weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
always happens.
I know. Always end up working. But yeah, I'm going to be at PAX, so I might debut it there. But I'm also going to a con for Crunchyroll, I believe, happening this next weekend with my friend. So I might try it there if all goes well with my setup for the cosplay. But yeah.
Very cool.
We'll
Very
see. Cool.
Are you still acting?
I've kind of stopped auditioning. I used to audition pretty regularly with my past management, but now I took a break from that, and I'm going to revisit it hopefully starting like near the end of this year. I did do one like little cameo for fun, called, I don't know if you saw the YouTube Red YouTube Red show called Good Game. It's been kind of been teased around in some different trailers here and there, but it's with a few people like Dan Harmon is producing it. Michelle Morrow, are you familiar with her?
Yes, I am.
So she stars in it and helped write the script. Jesse Cox is also in it. And then for me, my role is just like a little cameo alongside Terry Crews, which is kind of cool. So that was a cool opportunity where I got sent down for a day to shoot that cameo. That's the only thing I have going on right now, acting-wise, though.
Well, I'm going to have to go turn my VPN on because we can't get, like, YouTube Red doesn't really work in Canada. I don't know what they
really?
Have it. Yeah, so I'm just going to turn on my VPN and I can go get it anyway because I pay for the service, but they just don't offer YouTube Red yet in Canada. Weird.
That's super weird.
Yeah. So I guess what's your biggest, like, WTF moment since you've been doing your career? Like, obviously Terry Crews is crazy, but you've interviewed quite a few pretty awesome people.
Yeah, I've had a chance to interview some really awesome people, got to meet a lot of awesome people. I think the biggest, I'm trying to think the WTF, I guess for me, I mean, Terry Crews is really up there. Definitely, like, I got to work alongside him. We improv together in the scene. It's kind of, I really hope you get to see it because I haven't even seen it yet, but I'm crossing my fingers. My part's really funny. But yeah, Terry Crews is obviously hilarious and just a great guy. So it was great to work with him and for him to also appreciate the work that I was doing on set. But I'm trying to think what the other, it was cool to see, let me think here. Well, I was on set of that movie with Crackle for Mad Families, and that was interesting too because it starred Charlie Sheen, and he actually was on a phone call with his friend who was in the scene that I was in, and he was like, hey, who are you working with? And then the guy was like, oh, let me talk to your co-star. And so I got to talk on the phone with Charlie Sheen, which was totally random. That was kind of a WTF moment. But I'm trying to think what else. I'm trying to remember. Like, there's so many people I've gotten to meet over the years. Felicia Day was a really awesome time. I got to meet her at EW party, I remember, a couple of years back at Comic-Con. She's great. She's amazing. I'm trying to think who else. Oh, I mean, the biggest one for me at the start of my career was meeting Nolan North, who voiced Nathan Drake, or still is the voice of Nathan Drake. So that was kind of a big WTF moment for me. Because I was like, oh my god, you're the guy who I play the video games, and you're awesome. And you could do all the voices. And he's actually really funny and personable in real life. No surprise there, but yeah.
That's good to know. Because you always wonder, when you got those stars on a pedestal. I mean,
I know.
I deal with it daily. But, like, you just hope. You're just like, please be as please cool don't. As they think you are.
Yeah, don't be a jerk, please.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you on that for sure. Oh my gosh. If I ever come up with more WTF moments, I'll tweet them at you. But yeah,
that's always great.
What about you? Kind of want to interview you now about yours.
Oh my goodness. I mean, working at the radio stations is pretty amazing. And now we have iHeartRadio in Canada. You're probably familiar with it. You guys have it in the US. We now have it in Canada. I've been working on that as special project producer for the past year. And I don't know. Good Lord. I've met Dave Grohl.
Yes.
Oh my goodness gracious. Selena Gomez. Yeah, lots of musicians. Don King? Kind of wild. My Instagram is kind of like a peppering of celebrities because it's just what you do, right? So, and they're all been super nice people, right?
Good.
And done some pretty awesome interviews here too with GOG as well. Oh my goodness. It's like, and if ever since we decided to flip the show to this format where I can talk to people like yourself like this, it's just been so great because we can have a personable conversation like this and like shoot the shit and whatever else and find out, learn some people, especially about women in video games too. So there's some cool ladies doing some really cool stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I mean, even IGN has like so many, like I started out and there was maybe two other women that I knew who were in the gaming department that I was in. And it's definitely changed a lot over the years. A lot more women. Mm-hmm. Not a bad thing. Definitely all
not. Not at all. I totally love it. Are you still on the advisory board for South by Southwest Gaming?
No. So I was supposed to be a big part of South by Southwest and actually host their award show. Unfortunately, that just fell through because of scheduling issues. So even though I was on the advisory board to get to start, I think it didn't make sense if I wasn't going to be attending and if I wasn't going to be hosting that year to continue to be that. Mm-hmm. I didn't announce it or anything. It was just kind of quiet on that front. But I wanted to... I mean, it's something I would explore definitely in the future. I'm still in touch with them, so I don't see it not happening again. But thanks for asking about that. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Well, I just like I said, I like women doing cool things, especially in the video game world. And just knowing that, you know, strong women like yourself being involved in something like that, putting video games on a platform.
Yep.
It's really cool. Cute. What else you got going on?
What else? So Twitch is a huge part of what I have going on right now. I definitely want to get more into the producing creative side. So I'm kind of developing scripts and show ideas and coming into contacts where I can potentially pitch them to some decent studios. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, besides the IGN show, which has taken up like my entire schedule. So I think, and definitely, you know, having been on the IGN show all summer, and it's coming to an end now, September 8th. I think after that, I'm just going to go head first into as many either appearances or like YouTube initiatives like YouTube Red or anything content wise that I can be part of, kind of like Good Game or anything along those lines where I can explore more creative outlets like acting and but definitely on the production side, that's kind of where I'm headed, where I want to create my little, you know, things that I've envisioned that I think would be really cool to put out there in the world and see what happens. And also some music. I've been producing a couple songs. And I know that I came out with that one song called Oracle a while back on iTunes. So if I can explore and do some more of that and kind of actually come out with an EP or something substantial, not just one song, then I would want to pursue that more. And recently I've been able to find some creative juices to make that happen.
I love how that just came full circle, because we started off talking about your career doing jazz musician, came right back around to the music. And that's great. And I'm glad you're still doing that.
I know. It's always, I just love music. Like it's a huge part of, you know, my upbringing, I think. I like just having music always playing in the house and singing and like coming up with songs as often as much as I could. So, and like discovering, you know, how music has evolved these years and how easy it is to be able to just come up with your own song, like using Logic, or even if you have just any sort of instrument to make it an actual, you know, good sounding song. I don't know. I love that I'm able to still be a part of that. Like I had my Blue Microphones relationship for a while, and you know, even just going in the studio to shoot or to record Oracle there, like that was a lifelong dream. Like that was a state-of-the-art studio. And I'm like, here I am. And people actually like what I'm singing. Wow. Like, you know, there's a lot of validation in that, that I was able to, you know, kind of gain a certain musical confidence that I didn't have before. So, you know, putting some money into it, like putting, you know, bringing people together, like my producer friends from, you know, back when I was in college, actually, one of my friends, Marc Villain, he was a college buddy of mine during the music program, and now he's producing music professionally. So I was like, hey, mutually beneficial. I have an audience and you are a producer in Montreal producing music. So let's do something. And, you know, just as many contacts as I come across, a lot of people who I meet in the gaming industry are musicians, actually. So, you know, actually taking advantage of those people that I've met and creating something fun, I think is just, it's a lifelong dream, and hopefully I can turn it into something.
Great. Well, I want to thank you so much for doing this interview with me, and I want everybody to like follow you on Twitch, follow you on Twitter, follow you on everywhere.
Social
Go
media.
Check your stuff out. So throw it out there. What's your social media handles?
I will plug all the handles. So twitch.tv/NaomiKyle. Mostly if you search Naomi Kyle, you'll be able to find anything. But my Instagram, I love using Instagram stories. So if you want to like insight onto everything that's going on in my day, usually it's kind of funny videos or like random stuff going on in the office. I'll post some cool stories there. So that's the Naomi Kyle, T-H-E, Naomi Kyle, just because someone else has my handle. It's no big deal. I'll just stick to what I got now.
We had to do that for Girls on Games, too. We're the Girls on Games.
So. Oh, man.
What can you do?
Yeah, just got to stick with it and be like, it's okay. It's, as long as they can find you and you got the check mark, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah, so on, then on Twitter, it's Naomi Kyle. I think YouTube, too, if you are into some cool vlog-style videos, want to get to know more about me, I talk a lot about pizza, you can go to Naomi Kyle on YouTube. And I think those are the four big ones. There's also Facebook, but that's more of a fan page. It's called Naomi Kyle Fans. But yeah, I think if you just Google me, I'm sure you'll find some cool stuff. Yeah. I think I love social media a lot, actually. You know, I think you can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you follow me on all Instagrams and stuff.
We're always having conversations back and forth.
Exactly. All through social media.
Yeah. Well, Naomi, this has been a time. I appreciate it. And thank you very much.
This has been awesome. Thank you.
Alrighty, and that pretty much wraps up our show. Of course, want to thank Naomi once again. Before I let you go, want to remind you of our wonderful, wonderful partner, Fun.io. If you're looking for some VPS hosting for a big website or maybe something smaller like a WordPress blog, go check them out. Simon's not here. So stream team-wise, we continue to stream at Mixer. You can find us at girlsongames.tv. If you're interested in joining the crew, we are looking for new members of the team, guy or girl. So just shoot us an email at info@girlsongames.ca, or you could, you see one of the people streaming, go message them in their chat and they will point you in the right direction, or you can find us on Twitter. Website, Catherine, what's going on at girlsongames.ca?
Well, it's summer, so we're taking it pretty slow. So there might be a new project popping out on girlsongames.ca by the time this episode is out. So go see.
I think you can spoil it. It's pretty cool.
I'm not gonna steal the thunder. I'm gonna let Simon.
Okay.
I'm gonna let him announce it. So it should be out by the time this episode is out. So if you have no idea, if you don't follow us on social media, why not?
But what are you waiting for?
Go check girlsongames.ca.
All right, and we will grill him on that next week. Get all the deets. All the info. All right, cool. So I want to, of course, thank you ladies for hanging out with me today. I want to give you a chance to give your social media handles. Catherine, where can people track you down?
I am CSDESBINS, CSDB, on Twitter, Instagram, and most gaming platforms.
Stephanie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Lyle or on Mixer, mixer.com/Steffi.
Awesome. I am Leah Jewer on most social media platforms, except for Mixer, where I'm GOG Leah. I'm also that on Xbox Live, so yeah, if you want to friend me, go ahead. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can find us at Twitter and Facebook as The Girls on Games. You can find us on Instagram as Girls on Games. We continue this lovely conversation in text form on Discord, and you can follow us there, discord.me/girlsongames. Join in, chat it up, we have lots of fun. But of course, if you want to know anything about us at all, our home base is girlsongames.ca. So thank you very much for another wonderful week of video games. Have a great one, and enjoy. Go play something, right? All right.
Yes.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.